On this Saturday, the day before St. Patrick's Day, it's time for another wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Jack Farrell. Jack, good morning.
Good morning, Denny. Aaron Gobrah.
Yes, I played a little bit of Danny Boy earlier, my late Irish mother's favorite song, and
Happy Saint Irish mother's favorite song, and my Irish grandmother's favorite song was Danny Boy. Brought a tear to her eye every time she played it,
and it does to me too. But I'm such a sentimental slob anyway. But what are we going to be talking about?
100% Irish, so I thought we would talk about St. Patrick's Day and the appropriate wines to have with various Irish foods, etc. I remember the very first time I went to Ireland, we're talking a long, long time ago, but they never heard of corned beef and cabbage when you got out in the country. They'd had it in Dublin, but no place else would you hear about it. And the reason being is it's a token cabbage when you got out in the country. They'd had it in Dublin, but no place else would you hear about it. And the reason being is it's a totally American creation, corned beef and cabbage. When the Jewish immigrants came here, they often settled in very poor parts of the city where they shared the area with the poor Jewish people. And the Jewish people had this brisket of beef that remind them a little of beef at home, and they would have what they called a boiled supper, where they would boil the meat and put it in cabbage and a potato or something, and that would be the dinner. So thus, corned beef and cabbage evolved from the early Irish settlers into New York City, and it evolved mainly because, as I said, the closest they could find to the meat they had was the corned beef at the Jewish delicatessen. So they'd buy a wedge of that and have a boiled meal. Actually, probably the national dish of Ireland is something called Colcannon, which is mashed potatoes with cabbage, chopped onions, and, of course, if you have a little money and you can afford it, you might throw some cod or salmon into those boiled potatoes, and Colcannon is sort of the national dish there. It's really a wonderful dish, and you'll find it in all seafaring folks. It's the national dish of Portugal. I forget what it's called there, but it's the same thing. It's mashed potatoes with cod in it, and it really is a pleasant dish. You're more than likely on St. Patrick's Day watching a parade in Ireland is to get fish and chips. And, of course, everybody knows what fish and chips are. They're wonderful fried chips, potato French fries, which they call chips in England, and then deep-fried fish, whatever kind of fish is available, usually. Again, it's usually cod because it's plentiful and rarely too expensive. With fish and chips, I'd have a Riesling or a Pinot Grigio, or if you're feeling real adventuresome, maybe an Albarino from Spain. That Spanish white wine called Albarino is natural with fish and chips, in my opinion. Also very popular in Ireland is mutton stew. Mutton is a lamb that's grown into a fully developed sheep, and it has a much more hearty, zippy flavor than lamb does. I think mutton is almost an acquired taste. It's really very good, but when you're having that, any Bordeaux is just absolutely great with it. And, of course, Irish soda bread, we were talking, Denny and I, a minute ago about mothers and grandmothers. My grandmother always made wonderful Irish soda bread, and she would have it all the time, not just on St. Patrick's Day. And, of course, it just so happens that that mutton stew or lamb stew, Guinness doesn't go too badly with any of that. Guinness also is one of the largest breweries in the entire world, and of course is based in Ireland and brought a great deal of wealth and that to the country. Salmon is another very popular dish in Ireland because the salmon from Ireland is really very plentiful. In fact, it's a tragedy that during the Great Irish Potato Famine, the Irish country was exporting salmon to England at the time. Wouldn't they think to save some for themselves so they wouldn't all starve. But that was the way of the day in those days. But salmon, Irish salmon, in fact, Irish smoked salmon, I always get in an argument with my Scandinavian friends. I think it's the best in the world. I think maybe it's because I'm biased, but I do think Irish smoked salmon is really pretty good. And like I say, if you're going to celebrate St. Patrick's Day with corned beef and cabbage, there's all sorts of wines that go very, very well with that. Vino Verde, which is a wonderful little wine, comes from Spain, and it has a little spritz to it, and it's really in Portugal as well, and it's called Vino Verde, which is green wine, and when you take a sip of that Vino Verde, it'll leave a little spritz on your tongue, and what really happens to that spritz is the heat of your tongue is causing that wine to go through secondary fermentation, so there's always a little spritz when you have Vino Verde, and it's a terrific wine to have. Another outside-the-box wine is Guntner Veltner, which is the most popular wine in Austria, and it's a white wine, and it goes very, very well with corned beef and cabbage. But as I said, you might be going to have something more traditional like Cold Cannon, and Cold Cannon, because of the nature of potatoes and the fish and the cabbage, etc., it'll go with almost any wine. It's almost like cheese. A little Cote de Rhone would be delicious with it, as would a soft white wine. In fact, corned beef, if you want red wine with it, I'd suggest a softer red wine like a Merlot or a Pinot Noir. They would go very, very well with that type of thing. Another popular dish in Ireland is bangers and mash. That's also a very English dish. It's really sausages and potatoes, and it's just a very pleasant dish, very traditional Irish dish. And, of course, not only is there Guinness, we talked about how good that is, but Harp and Kilkenny are a couple other Irish beers that are very, very good to have with your Irish meal. And Irish salmon, as I said a moment ago, is just absolutely fabulous. If you can find some Irish salmon, I know I have a brother that loves to fly fish, and we were in Ireland several years ago, and he caught a few salmon that we had the chef at the hotel cook for us, and it was just delicious. And with that Irish salmon, I'd have a creamy Chardonnay, or, again, Pinot Noir. And whether the Pinot Noir is from France or Australia or, for that matter, California or Oregon, it is just a perfect marriage with salmon. I remember once being out at the Pinot Noir Festival in Oregon many, many years ago. I think it was the very first one they had. And they cook the salmon like the native population used to cook it. They put it in green saplings over a cedar fire. And the cedar fire, it was fun to watch them. They got these huge logs and put them in a long stretch. And then they got these saplings that were green, treaded the whole salmon fillet through that and set them about 4 or 5 feet above the fire. And what that did is they cooked from the heat and the smoke. So it was a combination of the salmon of heat and smoke and produced a salmon that was absolutely extraordinary and, of course, went absolutely perfectly with all of the Pinot Noirs, whether you're having a Pinot Noir from Oregon or anywhere else in the world, which they have. You might say, well, what do the Irish, for that matter, know about wine? Well, believe it or not, they know a lot about wine. You know, as Winston Churchill once said, the Irish never bloom on their own soil, and he's probably right. If you like Bordeaux, there are several Bordeaux properties that were founded by Irishmen and are all considered exceptional wines. Leoville Barton, Lynch Bage, Phelan Segur, Kirwan, Caelan Segur are all founded by Irish folks. There's a winery in California called Tuncannon who was actually The Mexican Archbishop had a friend named Concannon who wanted to go up in California, so he gave him a commission for the Catholic Church of Mexico City to provide them wine. And Concannon Vineyard was founded in the Livermore Valley in California so long ago, and they're still producing pleasant wines if you can find them. The Irish also gave us a lot of things in the spirits business. After all, believe it or not, whiskey is an Irish word. It comes from the old Celtic uscabai, which means water of life. So uscabai was slangily turned into whiskey, and thus the Irish have the noteworthy great honor of having named whiskey. And it's really just marvelous. As a matter of fact, what's coming into its own today is Irish whiskey. There was a time not too terribly long ago that there were only two distilleries making Irish whiskey in all of Ireland. Today there's about 100 of them, many of them small, little kind of garage operations, if you will. But they're making Irish whiskey again, and it's gotten very, very popular. In fact, an interesting story is when Prohibition ended in this country in 1934, old Joe Kennedy, the father of Jack Kennedy, the president, had three ships in New York Harbor full of Scotch whiskey. And so the United States, prior to Prohibition in the 20s, Irish whiskey outsold Scotch whiskey about 250-1 in the United States. Because of Joe Kennedy and having that Scotch whiskey in the harbor, all of a sudden people were clamoring for Scotch whiskey, and Scotch whiskey jumped into 250-1 with Irish whiskey. But Irish whiskey is claiming it back, and like I said, today Irish whiskey is a not quite on the par with Scotch, but it's getting there, and it's very close, which is surprising, because if you'd asked somebody 10 or 15 years ago about that, they would have said, it'll never happen. But another thing is the Irish invented that cream liqueur, which has become very popular. As a matter of fact, Bailey's Irish Cream changed the liqueur business in the United States. Years ago, people after dinner would have maybe a Kahlua or a Benedictine or a Tia Maria or Drambuie or Cointreau, etc. The Irish creams became so popular that it cut the sales of all of those liqueurs and after dinner things, and kind of leads the pack entirely. Irish coffee, often people say, was invented in California. Well, it was very popularized in California by a cafe down in the wharf called Buena Vista, but it was really invented at Shannon Airport years ago when the planes only had a limited range. They all stopped in Shannon on their way to Europe. So if you were flying to Paris, you stopped in Shannon. Well, apparently one night the weather was bad. They stopped in Shannon, and the plane couldn't take off, and the people were hungry and crabby. And the bartender at the Shannon Airport created an Irish coffee, which is two parts whiskey, four parts coffee, one part cream, and maybe a tablespoon of sugar. And what a delicious drink that is. Irish coffee, it's very, very popular. And it's quite delicious, no matter who makes it or how it's made. And then there's all those wonderful Irish whiskeys. Tullamore Dhu is another one. Any of them are really good. And the Black and Tan, the Irish invented, which is stout over ale, and it's very, very good. Again, Bushmills, Jameson are some Irish whiskeys that are extremely popular. Speaking of popular, Ted's 6 for 60 still is available through the 24th of March. He's picked out six wonderful wines from all parts of the world, starting with an Italian Prosecco, a rosé from France, a white Bordeaux, a Cabernet from Australia, a blend red, which is terrific, and a Cote d'Iron. All of those wines, six of them, for $60. Not a bad thing, and a good way to get you started for the St. Patrick's Day celebration.
Absolutely. I love that 6 for 60 idea. Jack, tell us the locations where we can find all those goodies at Haskell's.
At Haskell's, you know, they love to talk about wine, and they give you wine to taste, too, every Saturday from noon to about 4 o'clock. You can stop in and taste different wines from different countries. But the folks at Haskell's love to talk about wine. They love to pair wine. Whether you're having corned beef and cabbage, Culcannon, or just steaks on the grill, they'll help you pick a wine, and they'll pick a wine that doesn't break the bank. Believe me, it'll be a nice marriage. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. There's a Haskell's in Bloomington, Excelsior. There's one down in Faribault off of 35. Our Maple Grove Super Cellar, not to be missed, 22,000 square feet of wines from around the world. Minneapolis, there's free parking on Saturday and Sunday. There's a Haskell's at Ridgedale, Plymouth, St. Paul's Highland Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come in, go to Haskell's.com. And don't forget, we do deliver.
And happy St. Patrick's Day to you and all the folks at Haskell's, Jack.
And the very same to you and the same to all our wonderful listeners in WCCO land.
Jack happy Farrell. On this Saturday, the day before St. Patrick's Day, it's time for another wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Jack Farrell. Jack, good morning.
Good morning, Denny. Aaron Gobra.
Yes, I played a little bit of Danny Boy earlier, my late Irish mother's favorite song, and
Happy Saint. Irish mother's favorite song, and my Irish grandmother's favorite song was Danny Boy. Brought a tear to her eye every time she played it.
And it does to me too, but I'm such a sentimental slob anyway. But what are we going to be talking about?
100% Irish, so I thought. We would talk about St. Patrick's Day and the appropriate wines to have with various Irish foods, etc. I remember the very first time I went to Ireland, we're talking a long, long time ago, but they never heard of corned beef and cabbage when you got out in the country. They'd had it in Dublin, but no place else would you hear about it. And the reason being is it's a token cabbage when you got out in the country. They'd had it in Dublin, but no place else would you hear about it. And the reason being is it's a totally American creation, corned beef and cabbage. When the Jewish immigrants came here, they often settled in very poor parts of the city where they shared the area with the poor Jewish people. And the Jewish people had this brisket of beef that reminded them a little of beef at home, and they would have what they called a boiled supper, where they would boil the meat and put in cabbage and a potato or something, and that would be the dinner. So thus, corned beef and cabbage evolved from the early Irish settlers into New York City, and it evolved mainly because, as I said, the closest they could find to the meat they had was the corned beef at the Jewish delicatessen, so they'd buy a wedge of that and have a boiled meal. Actually, probably the national dish of Ireland is something called Culcannon, which is mashed potatoes with cabbage, chopped onions, and, of course, if you have a little money and you can afford it, you might throw some cod or salmon into those boiled potatoes. And Culcannon is sort of the national dish there. It's really a wonderful dish, and you'll find it in all seafaring folks. It's the national dish of Portugal. I forget what it's called there, but it's the same thing. It's mashed potatoes with cod in it, and it really is a pleasant dish. You're more than likely on St. Patrick's Day watching a parade in Ireland is to get fish and chips. And, of course, everybody knows what fish and chips are. They're wonderful fried chips, potato French fries, which they call chips in England, and then deep-fried fish, whatever kind of fish is available, usually. Again, it's usually cod because it's plentiful and rarely too expensive. With fish and chips, I'd have a Riesling or a Pinot Grigio, or if you're feeling real adventuresome, maybe an Albarino from Spain. That Spanish white wine called Albarino is natural with fish and chips, in my opinion. Also, very popular in Ireland is mutton stew. Mutton is a lamb that's grown into a fully developed sheep, and it has a much more hearty, zippy flavor than lamb does. I think mutton is almost an acquired taste. It's really very good, but when you're having that, any Bordeaux is just absolutely great with it. And, of course, Irish soda bread, we were talking, Denny and I, a minute ago about mothers and grandmothers. My grandmother always made wonderful Irish soda bread, and she would have it all the time, not just on St. Patrick's Day. And, of course, it just so happens that that mutton stew or lamb stew, Guinness doesn't go too badly with any of that. Guinness also is one of the largest breweries in the entire world and, of course, is based in Ireland and brought a great deal of wealth and that to the country. Salmon is another very popular dish in Ireland because the salmon from Ireland is really very plentiful. In fact, it's a tragedy that during the Great Irish Potato Famine, the Irish country was exporting salmon to England at the time. Wouldn't they think to save some for themselves so they wouldn't all starve? But that was the way of the day in those days. But Irish smoked salmon, I always get in an argument with my Scandinavian friends, I think it's the best in the world. I think maybe it's because I'm biased, but I do think Irish smoked salmon is really pretty good. And like I say, if you're going to celebrate St. Patrick's Day with corned beef and cabbage, there's all sorts of wines that go very, very well with that. Vino Verde, which is a wonderful little wine, comes from Spain, and it has a little spritz to it. And it's really in Portugal as well. And it's called Vino Verde, which is green wine. And when you take a sip of that Vino Verde, it'll leave a little spritz on your tongue. And what really happens to that spritz is the heat of your tongue is causing that wine to go through secondary fermentation. So there's always a little spritz when you have Vino Verde. And it's a terrific wine to have. Another outside-the-box wine is Guntner Veltner, which is the most popular wine in Austria, and it's a white wine, and it goes very, very well with corned beef and cabbage. But as I said, you might be going to have something more traditional like Cold Cannon, and Cold Cannon, because of the nature of potatoes and the fish and the cabbage, etc., it'll go with almost any wine. It's almost like cheese. A little Cote de Rhône would be delicious with it, as would a soft white wine. In fact, corned beef, if you want red wine with it, I'd suggest a softer red wine like a Merlot or a Pinot Noir. It would go very, very well with that type of thing. Another popular dish in Ireland is bangers and mash. That's also a very English dish. It's really sausages and potatoes. And it's just a very pleasant dish, very traditional Irish dish. And, of course, not only is there Guinness, we talked about how good that is, but Harp and Kilkenny are a couple other Irish beers that are very, very good to have with your Irish meal. And Irish salmon, as I said a moment ago, is just absolutely fabulous. If you can find some Irish salmon, I know I have a brother that loves to fly fish, and we were in Ireland several years ago, and he caught a few salmon that we had the chef at the hotel cook for us, and it was just delicious. And with that Irish salmon, I'd have a creamy Chardonnay, or again, Pinot Noir. And whether the Pinot Noir is from France or Australia or, for that matter, California or Oregon, it is just a perfect marriage with salmon. I remember once being out at the Pinot Noir Festival in Oregon many, many years ago. I think it was the very first one they had. And they cook the salmon like the native population used to cook it. They put it in green saplings over a cedar fire. And the cedar fire, it was fun to watch them. They got these huge logs and put them in a long stretch, and then they got these saplings that were green, treaded the whole salmon fillet through that and set them about 4 or 5 feet above the fire. And what that did is they cooked from the heat and the smoke. So it was a combination of the salmon of heat and smoke and produced a salmon that was absolutely extraordinary and, of course, went absolutely perfectly with all of the Pinot Noirs, whether you're having a Pinot Noir from Oregon or anywhere else in the world, which they have. You might say, well, what do the Irish, for that matter, know about wine? Well, believe it or not, they know a lot about wine. You know, as Winston Churchill once said, the Irish never bloom on their own soil, and he's probably right. If you like Bordeaux, there are several Bordeaux properties that were founded by Irishmen and are all considered exceptional wines. Leoville Barton, Lynch Baj, Phelan Segur, Kirwan, Caelan Segur are all founded by Irish folks. There's a winery in California called Tuncannon, who was actually the Mexican Archbishop had a friend named Tuncannon who wanted to go up in California, so he gave him a commission for the Catholic Church of Mexico City to provide them wine. And Tuncannon Vineyard was founded in the Livermore Valley in California so long ago, and they're still producing pleasant wines if you can find them. The Irish also gave us a lot of things in the spirits business. After all, believe it or not, whiskey is an Irish word. It comes from the old Celtic uscabai, which means water of life. So uscabai was slangily turned into whiskey, and thus the Irish have the noteworthy great honor of having named whiskey. And it's really just marvelous. As a matter of fact, what's coming into its own today is Irish whiskey. There was a time not too terribly long ago that there were only two distilleries making Irish whiskey in all of Ireland. Today there's about 100 of them, many of them small, little kind of garage operations, if you will. But they're making Irish whiskey again, and it's gotten very, very popular. In fact, an interesting story is when Prohibition ended in this country in 1934, old Joe Kennedy, the father of Jack Kennedy, the president, had three ships in New York Harbor full of Scotch whiskey. And so the United States, prior to Prohibition in the 20s, Irish whiskey outsold Scotch whiskey about 250-1 in the United States. Because of Joe Kennedy and having that Scotch whiskey in the harbor, all of a sudden people were clamoring for Scotch whiskey, and Scotch whiskey jumped into 250-1 with Irish whiskey. But Irish whiskey is claiming it back, and like I said, today Irish whiskey is a Not quite on the par with Scotch, but it's getting there, and it's very close, which is surprising, because if you'd asked somebody 10 or 15 years ago about that, they would have said, it'll never happen. But another thing is the Irish invented that cream liqueur, which has become very popular. As a matter of fact, Bailey's Irish Cream changed the liqueur business in the United States. Years ago, people after dinner would have maybe a Kahlua or a Benedictine or a Timaria or Drambuie or Cointreau, etc. The Irish creams became so popular that it cut the sales of all of those liqueurs and after dinner things and kind of leads the pack entirely. Irish coffee, often people say, was invented in California. Well, it was very popularized in California by a cafe down in the wharf called Buena Vista, but it was really invented at Shannon Airport years ago when the planes only had a limited range. They all stopped in Shannon on their way to Europe. So if you were flying to Paris, you stopped in Shannon, Well, apparently one night the weather was bad. They stopped in Shannon, and the plane couldn't take off, and the people were hungry and crabby. And the bartender at the Shannon Airport created an Irish coffee, which is two parts whiskey, four parts coffee, one part cream, and maybe a tablespoon of sugar. And what a delicious drink that is. Irish coffee, it's very, very popular. And it's quite delicious, no matter who makes it or how it's made. And then there's all those wonderful Irish whiskeys. Tullamore Dhu is another one. Any of them are really good. And the Black and Tan, the Irish invented, which is stout over ale, and it's very, very good. Again, Bushmills, Jameson are some Irish whiskeys that are extremely popular. Speaking of popular, 10-6 for 60 still is available through the 24th of March. He's picked out six wonderful wines from all parts of the world, starting with an Italian Prosecco, a rosé from France, a white Bordeaux, a Cabernet from Australia, a blend red, which is terrific, and a Cote d'Iron. All of those wines, six of them, for $60. Not a bad thing, and a good way to get you started for the St. Patrick's Day celebration.
Absolutely. I love that 6 for 60 idea. Jack, tell us the locations where we can find all those goodies at Haskell's.
At Haskell's, you know, they love to talk about wine, and they give you wine to taste, too, every Saturday from noon to about 4 o'clock. You can stop in and taste different wines from different countries. But the folks at Haskell's love to talk about wine. They love to pair wine. Whether you're having corned beef and cabbage, Culcannon, or just steaks on the grill, they'll help you pick a wine, and they'll pick a wine that doesn't break the bank. Believe me, it'll be a nice marriage. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. There's a Haskell's in Bloomington, Excelsior. There's one down in Faribault off of 35. Our Maple Grove Super Cellar, not to be missed. 22,000 square feet of wines from around the world. Minneapolis, there's free parking on Saturday and Sunday. There's a Haskell's at Ridgedale, Plymouth, St. Paul's Highland Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come in, go to Haskell's.com. And don't forget, we do deliver.
And happy St. Patrick's Day to you and all the folks at Haskell's, Jack.
And the very same to you and the same to all our wonderful listeners in WCCO land.
Jack Farrell.